Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, one person goes through a traumatic family experience that proves to them that even when our physical body ends, our energy remains.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, and if you want all of the bonus episodes of our show, you want to support the program and help keep us on the air, we'd greatly appreciate that. You can become a supporter, an extra podcast person, as we call them, one of two places at ghostpodcast.com. You can get all the content right there through our website. Or if you like Patreon and that app, that's another very convenient way of getting all the EPP content. You can sign up through there for only $5 a month as well. And you can even do an annual membership, get 1 month free. You can do an annual membership on either site and get a month free and all of the content right there. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Bonus episodes, advanced episodes, archive of episodes, commercial free. So it's a great way to listen to the program if you like to listen frequently. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I am sunburned as shit.
You are sunburned as shit.
Yes.
That was good. That was fun and exciting, realizing that midway through the day yesterday, we should have put on sunscreen.
Yes.
And we did, but it was kind
of... I cried.
A little late than... Yeah, better late than never.
No, it was too late.
Just too late, yeah. And we built a chicken coop. We were trying to make it look like a castle. We were going to put barbed wire around the top of it. And more like chicken prison is where it was more like.
It's a chicken run. We already have the coop. This is different. This is their outside safe play area.
Yeah, it's the pen.
Yeah, basically, but it's a large room. Basically, it's a screened-in porch for chickens.
It's a guard tower.
No.
We're trying to make it like Waverly Hills for chickens.
No.
Wouldn't that be great? What if like all of the animal facilities that we were building around the yard, we structured them to look like famous haunted locations? Like the pig house, we can put like Amityville windows on. And
that would be better than your original thought of making all the animal structures look like fast food restaurants.
Yeah, that seemed a little bit like that might be difficult. And people would be very confused by that. Why is that a barbecue, look like a barbecue restaurant where the pigs live?
It's there's
like,
a tiny Freddy's over there.
And the thing is, like, we're not eating any of our animals. We love them. They are all pets. I just think, you know, I like ironic and, you know, satirical humor. But that would be interesting if all of the pens or the structures that we've created for them, if we could outfit them to be... more haunted house-like.
Let's just make them all match and call it a day.
We could name the animals after like famous characters, like from like The Exorcist. And
if you could have chosen the name for your donkey,
Damien,
would you have named it Damien?
No, I don't think so.
What would you have named him?
I don't know. I mean, I like silly names. I don't necessarily go with dark names on pets. So I don't know, probably like Kramer or something.
Kramer.
It's probably what I would have done, quite honestly.
Okay.
But yeah, we just got a donkey and its name is Eeyore.
He comes with the name.
Comes with the name Eeyore. Like, okay, that works. But he seems pretty friendly.
Yeah.
So.
I want to put a bow on his tail, though, so it looks like we pinned his tail back on.
Is there any like zombie donkeys in any? Can I dress the pets up for Halloween or anything like that? Or is that?
I don't know. It depends on if they'll allow it.
I had this great idea for Halloween, if our front pasture is done in time. But I don't think you can do it because I don't think it's safe. But in theory, it's a fun idea. If you could get a basically a dummy like attached to a saddle on the horse. And then he's riding around, or he's just on top of the horse, and the horse just kind of wanders around the field as he normally would. But it looks like there's a headless horseman on top, and he has an arm hanging out, and in the there's either a pumpkin or a head or something that he's holding.
Yeah.
And then the horse just kind of walks around. And on Halloween night, you got some fog out there in the field and the horse kind of emerges with a headless horseman on top.
I would only let you do that if we were leading the horse.
Yeah.
Like in a Halloween parade or something.
Sure.
But not just wandering around the pasture with that on there. That's not safe.
It's probably not right to do to a horse.
No, so. It's not.
But fun idea, not feasible, is really what it is.
Your donkey has a cross on its back.
It does.
And we were didn't notice that until your first grade teacher pointed that out. Thankfully, the cross is the right direction, because that could have been a very bad omen if you got a donkey with an upside down cross on its back.
It was my reaction to my first grade teacher who taught in a Christian, you know, elementary school, mm-hmm. and all of that. And just one of the nicest ladies. And that was my reaction. It was, thank goodness. I just noticed that too. Thank goodness the cross is right side up. Otherwise, we've just bought a demon donkey. But that would have been interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We almost had one with a demon donkey. We were that close. I guess it's all a matter of perspective, but it's up by the head. The cross happens on the neck, mm-hmm. and the shoulder. So yeah, it's not the other way. Let's go to our first story. It says, I have a story that confirmed to our family that when we die, that although our physical body ends, our energy remains. Originally from a small town, while I was still quite young, my parents decided to move two provinces away into a big city, leaving behind all my dad's side of the family. My dad had five siblings. He was the oldest and the one that his younger brothers and sisters always looked up to. He was missed. Therefore, my dad's family would visit us on a regular basis. My uncle Mark, who was only a few years older than me, and my sister being so close in age, I really thought of him as more of a cousin than an uncle. Once Mark was in his 20s, he officially moved to our city and lived with us for a few years while enjoying everything the big city had to offer. He was big into the music scene and loved the live music that you could find and sometimes even participate in it. On more than one occasion, Mark would play his guitar and sing at a local blues bar, which hosted a battle of the bands once a week. My parents were always proud when he performed. His self-taught electric guitar playing was quite remarkable, that my dad would try to clumsily record it on his then flip phone. Eventually, Mark decided to move back to his small town to be with his family and friends, who he ultimately created a band and recorded original music with. Music was always his passion. He even started up a summer music festival for bands, which still runs to this day. Fast forward to Mark at the age of 39, missing the fun of our city, he had planned on coming for a much overdue visit. He called my dad and was discussing how he'd be coming out that next weekend. Before he could make the trip, Mark started to feel a little under the weather and ended up being admitted to the local hospital. The doctors were not sure what the issue was. He was young, physically fit, but his body was somehow just shutting down. Clearly, he was terrified and refused to believe he was sick, still calling and chatting with my dad about the trip and how he was just waiting to get the go-ahead from his doctor. Within a couple of days, his body almost completely shut down, including his kidneys, which left him incredibly swollen and unrecognizable. Running out of options, the doctors decided to use kidney dialysis and a machine on him. We all thought this would work and that his kidneys were the main issue. To our shock and utter heartbreak, the decision caused Mark's heart to fail, and we lost him just days away from his 40th birthday. Even writing this, I still get teary-eyed thinking about it 8 years later, and I still cannot believe he's gone. Later, we found out that Mark unknowingly was suffering from an enlarged heart, which sadly was why he did not react well to the chosen treatment. As soon as he passed, my dad got the dreaded call on his cell phone. He assumed it was Mark explaining that he got the go-ahead for his trip. After the news, my dad hung up the phone and was in absolute shock and disbelief that his little brother and baby of the family was gone. While quietly sitting there, just letting the information soak in, my dad's cell phone suddenly starts playing a video a dad recorded of Mark playing at the local bar from his last trip to our city. My dad isn't much of a believer and casually told me the story of how nice it was to watch the video that he forgot he had, but failed to mention how it played all by itself, which keep in mind was also while he was still literally holding the phone after getting the news. It wasn't until I asked to see the video that Dad, who was not tech savvy in the slightest, told me he wasn't sure how to find it or where it was stored because it just simply played for him. Don't forget that his phone was a flip phone and really was awkward to navigate. It simply was not as easy as clicking an icon and watching all your videos, like the luxury we have nowadays. I left, not getting to see the video, but wholeheartedly believed him and felt it was absolutely my uncle. The next week, me, my sisters, and my parents all flew to our hometown for my uncle's funeral. The day before the funeral, we met up with the rest of my dad's siblings and had a large breakfast get-together at a local restaurant. There must have been about 20 to 25 of us there at one long table, my dad in the middle catching up with all his family. During the conversation, my dad starts telling the story of how his phone mysteriously played this video and how I thought it was Mark. They all kind of commented and moved on to another story. Just then, without any warning, the video once again starts playing on the outside screen of my dad's flip phone. We were all quiet and shocked. I immediately felt the hairs on my arm stand up. Now I felt as though it was without a doubt my uncle telling us he was still there. Although some would find it comforting knowing a loved one is still around you, I immediately was worried that he was trying to contact us because he was scared and not knowing what to do. I often wonder if this is what happens when a person who is in disbelief with their death refuses to fully pass over and become a lost spirit on our plane, which I would never want for any loved one. I've heard that when a person passes that their energy is extremely strong, which is why it's easier to communicate. Perhaps he was just using the energy to say goodbye. But that not much happened after that. I had hoped that maybe it just took him a few days and that previously deceased loved ones helped him eventually cross over. Although we do not get any crazy videos anymore, and Dad has learned how to use his phone, we do think about Mark often. This especially happens when I visit my parents' home. And thanks to Disney Pixar's Coco movie, I have a shrine of photos for the loved ones we have lost. Most recently, on my dad's birthday, he was sitting in the gazebo having a beer by himself, listening to music. My mom comes in and Dad jokingly says, "Guess no one showed up to my big party." They both laugh, and then all of a sudden, a light-up sign on the wall turns itself on. Dad simply replies, "Well, I guess Mark did at least." We love when these things happen now. I no longer fear for the well-being of those that have passed. I think they just want us to know they're always around and still love a good family party. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. I hope you found it interesting and perhaps made you think about what happens immediately after death. I'm new to your show and have already been telling everyone about it. I love the banter and stories. Keep up the good work.
I think that's interesting that not only was he was around right after his death, but that he still kind of comes back at certain times, you know, like the party. But It's not uncommon for, well, I say it's not uncommon, like I know for sure, but we get stories all the time of like this 40-day window where people will stay around and kind of almost, you know, tie up loose ends before they cross over. And then once they cross over, they only come back if they really need to. But I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe that was that 40-day window where he was playing the video a couple of times and then just kind of came back to visit.
Like, I wonder if the spirit is stronger immediately after death and eventually it kind of fades. Not that they're, like, fading from, you know, existence, but fading in the availability to present themselves to us. Mm-hmm. Although you have stories, you know, how does that, though, then explain when you have, you know, conscious, you know, Civil War spirits or things even older than that, you know, Roman spirits, you know, in that part of the world? And I mean, because you do have those things, but more commonly you do, in fact, see spirits that are from more of a recent time, it appears, than it does, at least conscious type, than you do of a very long period of time.
But time is relevant, you know, that may be not that far back. And so it may be that their energy depletes at a rate to where they can stick around for a few centuries or more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you don't hear ghost of cavemen. You don't hear ghost of, you know, early anything. The Roman ghosts are about as old as you hear about.
Is it like a probationary period of death? Is it like the universe is like, let's see if you can handle being dead and how well you do at it. And then if it's shown like, okay, they got it, they're good, you can move on to the next chapter. And then it's just like doors closed. You're out of the living world and you're into the next thing. But maybe like a lot of people still fuck up the probationary period. Or maybe you fuck it up on purpose because you want to stick around and you know, if I don't quite check all these boxes here that I'm supposed to check, then I don't have to move on. And I can keep chilling.
I don't know that it's a probationary period. I think it's a choice.
Yeah.
I think for some ghosts it's a choice. I think for others it's not.
Yeah. Well, I'm always intrigued by where if it is a choice, then why is it that sometimes some seem to need human interaction to move on? But that's a whole other conversation.
It's confusion. They're confused about something.
It's like a dream. It's like the dreams I have where I'm in a different person and I wake up and I'm like, who am I? Where am I? Where do I live? What's going on?
Uh-huh.
And it takes like a second. It's totally weird. I guess it's also like what dementia feels like on a regular basis. But it's like I'll have that after a dream sometimes. And it's like just freaking weird. And I don't know. I don't know. I've never thought of it as anything paranormal. Does everybody have dreams that like their world is 100% different and it's just different?
Yeah, I think a lot of people do. I mean, at least I know I do. And then I wake up and think, oh, thank God I'm back on the farm and I didn't really kill that person.
Yeah. Well, mine aren't like that. Mine aren't like that, like where I've gone and done something horrible. Mine are like, I'm living like a whole different life.
Mm-hmm.
It would be almost like you're viewing life through someone else's eyes, but you are that person. It's quantum leap.
Okay.
Is very much what it's like, but it's not so much leaping in time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the most part, things seem to be current day, at least from what I can tell, or at least remotely.
Okay.
But it's weird.
Well, I hope you like your real life wife better than your dream time wife.
I don't have a dream time wife.
Oh, so you're just bacheloring the whole thing?
No, it's not like there's like long periods of time. It's like like I'll be working in like a factory or it'll be very mundane shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like stuff that's not normal. I mean, or not normal
not
for my life.
You're normal.
Yeah. I mean, that are not in and never have been. It's not like I'm dreaming. I mean, I'll have those dreams where like I'm back at an old workplace or something like that. And that I get. These dreams that I'll have sometimes are just, it is very much like, boom, you're just somewhere and doing something you've never done. But you have all this knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a whole backstory. And it is like a download where it's like you can recall your past. It's not your past. In your real past. But in your dream, it's like, oh, yeah, of course. And there's just no questioning it because it is real. It's as real as like us sitting here. It's like if I, in my real life, was doing something else and I dreamt I did a podcast. And every once in a while, I dream I'm sitting here with you doing a podcast. And this is it. And then I wake up, I'm like, I've never done a podcast.
Well, maybe in your next life, you'll have those dreams.
It's weird. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think it's just my mind, but I don't know. The more I hear stories about like different type of projection and people getting information and energies, the more I wonder if there's more to it. Not that like, is anything on purpose or anybody's trying to give me a message or anything like that. But I just think I'm wondering if sometimes just our energies can kind of float around like that and you can pick up on somebody else's consciousness, like a television, and you're just kind of like, yeah, picking it up. I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's bizarre. Did I scare you?
No, you didn't scare me. You just lost me. I got confused.
Okay.
But you don't have to explain. I'm good.
Okay. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next one says, my story starts in the year 1998. I was pregnant with my third child. We had just moved into a new duplex that had been built just 2 years prior. I've always believed in the paranormal since I was a child, seeing my great-grandmother, who had passed, come to my room one night while visiting my great-aunt, her sister. It started with a little thing, knocks, bangs from upstairs, when no one was there. My two older girls, whose rooms were upstairs, had refused to sleep in their bunk bed, even if they were together. They would talk about a man coming into the room and bothering them. I would get weird feelings like someone coming in the room when no one was there after kids in bed and feeling things sitting at the foot of the bed. I tried to tell my boyfriend, my children's father at the time, about these weird things going on, and he would just scoff it off and tell me that I just wanted things to happen and that I'm inviting that stuff in. I would try and play it off and not think about it too much until one night the kids and I were sitting on the couch watching TV. My daughter looks at me and asks why there's a man upstairs. The way the stairs are made, there's two stairs, a landing, and then you turn and go up the rest of the stairs. If someone stands at the top of the stairs and both the bottom and top lights were on, your shadow will cast to the wall below. Well, I happened to just glance there and looked like a man was at the top of the stairs with a shadow casting from the top with a wide brim on, and he was quite tall. I rushed to the stairs, and of course, there was no one there. The next pretty big thing that happened was that I had just gotten off the phone with a friend, and that was on her way to the house to pick me up since we were going out. After 5 minutes later, I heard my door open and her calling my name. Of course, I went to the door. She was not there, and I realized that when she called me, she was a good 20 minutes from my house. There was no way that was her. My name was called a few more times on different occasions. The biggest thing was me and my boyfriend was watching TV. The baby in his crib in my room and the girls in their bedroom upstairs asleep. Lights off, getting cozy, the atmosphere in the room suddenly changed. Like, it felt like the air was electric. We see this cloud-looking thing, blacker than black, floating down the stairs slowly. Passes in front of the TV, blocking out the picture, looking like it was undaunting. Flies into my room. Boyfriend looks at me, eyes as big as saucers. I'm still sitting here, kind of stunned. He runs to the bedroom, gets the baby, chucks him at me, and runs upstairs and gets the girls, one in each arm. He sits down on the couch after I'd seen that. I said, yes, I've been telling you weird stuff has been happening here for a while. He admitted he believed me now. There are more stories about two other places we lived and after we moved out of that duplex, but I'll save those for another time.
I wonder if everything is tied back to the shadow person, the voices and everything, you know, because they tend to take on different forms even within being a shadow person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll do voices, they'll make things move. They're kind of your all-around, can-do-everything ghost.
Sure.
So I wonder if that's the ghost that's actually doing everything.
If it's all connected to that single one and not necessarily multiple things, that's, you know, it's a good point. It's a very good possibility that that it is. Be great if you were someone in life who could do impressions really well, would you do impressions as a ghost to screw with people, to make them think there was more than one person going around?
If I could, I would.
And it sounds like there's this old English grandmother who lives here. But she talks about
Doubtfire.
She talks about the strangest things, though, you know. And then suddenly it's like these different characters. I would totally do that, and it would be really bad. It's like, are they doing like presidential imitations? Like, what is this ghost trying to do?
You're not the best at impressions.
No, I know I'm not. I'm horrible at it.
It's funny.
No, it's not a. It's rare. If I ever do one, it's, you know, if someone asked me to on the spot, it's not going to be good. I don't know if I've ever like really done a great one. I have characters that I do.
You have characters you do, and you can mimic when you sing karaoke. You can mimic the sound of just about any artist you want to.
Yeah.
But as far as just knocking, you know,
in speaking terms.
Yeah, that's not something you can do. Or accents. That's fun when you try and do an accent.
Yeah, I'm not good with that either.
No.
It's kind of funny, though. I can pull off a pretty good Rick Astley.
You do great with that. Yes, you do.
Should we try a little Rick Astley right now? We'll just do a studio song right here.
You can't do that.
We'll do Cry for Help. Like,
I love that song, but you can't do that.
She's playing her game. Then the
too bad cat
got away. Why did it go up the tree?
I'm going to have to listen to that in the barn by myself later because I wanted to listen to it last night and you played it and you talked through the entire song.
I did.
You did.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize we couldn't speak while Rick Astley was playing.
No, it's not that. It was just I asked you specifically to play that song and then you continued to just keep talking and talking. And I'm like, sometimes you just need that. You know,
Rick Astley break.
Yeah, you just need that quiet time with your song, and just that's it.
You need to cry for help.
Shut up.
Cry for help is all I need.
You would love it if you had a choir that followed you around and sang backup to everything you said.
I said someday I'm going to do karaoke and I'm going to have hired a choir to just show up. Just big surprise. Tony's last karaoke song of the night. And then all of a sudden, like, these people come out in robes and start singing Cry for Help. Then I'll drop the mic and go to bed. Be the best karaoke night ever in our house.
And then I'll find ways for these people to leave.
They're like, are we getting paid? You didn't agree? You didn't have anything set up with this? He's already gone. Like, yeah, I'll pay you. What? They want to find volunteers to do Cry for Help in our house. I think there's going to need to be some sort of compensation.
Oh, I know a little redhead that'll do anything you ask her to.
That's true. That's true.
But she's not a whole choir, but she has a hell of a voice on her.
That's true. That's true. The adventures here in Aspie Acres. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Amanda. I've called in previously, I think once, with a story about things that happened at my stepdad's cabin in the woods. So this is another story about that, but it involves bunk beds. I know how much you guys love the bunk bed stories. So basically, there was this bunk bed up in the attic. There were three beds, like a full bed for the oldest sister, and then the bunk bed for me and the second oldest. So she preferred to sleep on the bottom bunk. So, of course, I got the top bunk. So I would sleep up there, and she would sleep down there, and I was always so jealous because she always made a bunk bed for it. So she would put up blankets and stuff and make a little closed off area for herself for the bunk bed. There were always blankets there. Nobody thought anything of it because that was just her habit. Anyway, nightfall, you know, and we're all tired. We've been romping around outside playing in the creek and, hunting crawfish and stuff kids do, you know, just exploring. And, you know, we were all freshly showered. It was like 11 p.m. And that was really super late for me because at the time I was like 9. and my usual bedtime was like 8 o'clock. So, you know, I crawl up into my bunk bed and I get all cuddled in and ready to go to sleep. And I start hearing noises from the bottom bunk. And I thought that Christina, that is my stepsister's name, who sleeps in the bottom. I thought that she had gone up to bed way previous to when I had. And so I assumed she was just moving around in there. I didn't think anything of it. I start dozing off and I hear more noises and it sounds like she's munching on something. Like it sounds like she's got a snack bag or something of chips and she's eating chips in the bed. And so I was like, okay, whatever. Go ignore it and go back to sleep. Try to go back to sleep. Keep hearing noises, these crunching noises. And then I heard like scratching sounds and it sounded like she was scratching her nails on the wall. So I scratched back. Like I did a couple of scratches on the wall because sometimes she and I would communicate by scratching on the wall or when we were back at home, we would like knock on the wall between our bedrooms and it was just a kid thing, you know? And so I thought that's what we were doing. So I was like, I'm game. Let's do it. And so I scratched back and then like a couple minutes go by and I think that she's maybe fallen asleep or something. So I try to go back to sleep and then I hear more scratching. So I scratch back and then nothing. So I'm like, this is really weird. What is she doing? So I peek over the side of the top of the bunk because I'm like confused. And the blankets that she put up around the bed are on the floor now. And I'm like, okay, weird, but it happens. You know, you roll over in her sleep and knock some off. Okay, whatever. And then I hear like a shuffle in the bed and then like a growl. And okay, at this point, I'm spooked. So, but at 8 years old, I knew no fear. I was like, okay, we're going to check this out. Let's do it. So I get out of the bed and I go to look in her bottom bunk and nothing's there. And I'm just kind of staring at it in confusion. And she comes up the ladder, because technically we were sleeping in an attic and it was an old cabin. The only way to access it was this ladder that we used. So she comes up the ladder and she's looking at me like I'm absolutely insane. And I'm like, where did you go? Because I'm thinking maybe, you know, she, in the quiet, you know, she had actually just crept down the ladder or something. She's like, what do you mean? Where did I go? I haven't been up here. And I was like, I thought you went to bed before I did. She said, no, I was hiking up to the top of the mountain. I just got back a little bit ago. Because she liked to hike at night. She was a lot older than I was at the time. I think she was probably like 15. And technically she wasn't allowed to be doing that, by the way. But she snuck out and did stuff like that all the time. And I was like, oh, so you haven't been here at all? And she said, no. And I was like, she's like, why are you asking? You know, why aren't you in bed? You're like 8. And I told her what had happened. And she said, oh, well, yeah, this is, that kind of thing happens here a lot. You'll find that out the more we come here. And then she just proceeds to get into the bed like she didn't just rock my world. And so, yeah, that's my bunk bed story. It's creepy. Probably not the creepiest thing that's ever happened to me. So creepy. So I'll call in again, you know, with more stories. But have a great day. Thank you for being you guys and for providing this outlet. Have fun. Bye.
I wonder if that's the first one I've heard like that, where it sounds like there's somebody in the bunk bed that's actually not there.
Trying to get out.
Yeah. That's kind of creepy.
I think one of the scariest ideas is, you know, almost the thing in the furniture where you start to see things moving around, like in the mattress, mm-hmm. you know, or, you know, let's say the oversized chair that's in Dana Barrett's apartment and the arms come through it and, you know, that sort of thing. That just, yeah, I, yeah, not fun.
Mm-mm.
No. You know, it's interesting. I was just thinking as they were telling that story of, you know, they were up in the attic and that's where they were sleeping. And you see that premise laid out in so many like TV shows and movies where it's like, okay, the kids who are coming over for the weekend or the summer or whatever. Oh, you guys are going to go sleep up in the attic. That's the only space we got for you. I can't say I've ever been in that situation where the attic was like the de facto guest bedroom.
Sure.
Have you ever been in that situation?
No, but I would imagine that these are finished attics, meaning they have floors and walls and probably some sort of air, you know.
Okay. I picture like unfinished attic, you know, and it's like Home Alone almost.
Well, that's a more finished attic than like, you know, like our attic. All that's up there is insulation and junk, you know.
That would be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Harper has some friends over for a sleepover someday. It's like, okay, you guys are going to stay in the attic. Or Harper comes up with the idea. Cause it's like, can we stay in the attic like in the horror movies?
You're going to die of heat stroke.
It's like, no, honey, we can't do that. It's an interesting place. And, you know, there's noises and stuff in attics. But I always just find them fascinating because it's like, it's part of the structure of the house, the parts you don't see. And sometimes, it's interesting the way homes are built and aesthetically how things get laid out, that sometimes attics hide interesting spaces, especially on a second floor, mm-hmm. That could potentially be used for rooms or were too small or viewed as too small by the original builder or the original right. inhabitants. And it's interesting. I always, when we look at houses, I'm always like scoping out the attic with ideas of like, what could we turn this into? What?
Yeah, you are kind of an attic addict. you always kind of check that out. I'm looking at livable space. You're looking at storage.
I'm looking at what can I create into more livable space?
Oh.
And sometimes it's doable and sometimes it's not. I don't think there's a lot of options here.
No, there's not.
But at our last house, it was interesting because there was like almost a whole room mm-hmm. that it wasn't quite tall enough the way it was laid out, but there was a fake window on the outside of the house. It was a real window, but there was no room on the other side. It was attic space that was very difficult to get to.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever actually even got to it. I crawled over far enough to see where and how, mm-hmm. but was like, I'm not going to screw with this or get stuck over here. But if you like knocked a part of a wall out on the livable area, you could access it easier. And it actually was on my kind of list of things to do someday of like, I'm going to turn this into like a cubby or something.
It would have made a cool loft bed in that room because yeah. it was about 3 feet up
mm-hmm.
and you could, you know, have a little set of steps and then you have that yeah. area as the whole thing as a bed.
It would have been a neat little spot, but things like that are always just fast. It's like, I'm like a little child in so many ways. I still talk and tell ghost stories into a tape recorder, just like I did when I was three. And then I hunt around the house for little cubbies that I can hide in. I yeah. seek out small spaces.
You do.
And our daughter does the same thing. Mm-hmm. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like us and you want to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person in EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Only $5 a month to get access to all of our bonus material, or do an annual membership and get 1 month free. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.